Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbo.
Yes, hello, welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with NFL Shop Europe. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds. Our schedules have meant that this week myself and Jeff Reinbold can't get together, but we will bring you a little podcast today. You can hear from JP Shadrick later of the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network, but to begin with, I'm very pleased to be joined by British defensive end of the Carolina Panthers, F.A. Obada. F.A., it's not coming home, but you have.
No, so no. Thank you. Good to see you. It's good to be here. Yeah, it's not coming home.
Did you watch that?
I did watch the game yesterday. Honestly. Come on, man.
That's what everyone's feeling this morning.
Yeah. It's a bit deflated.
Yeah. How's it been coming back? You come back just for, obviously, this is the quiet period in the NFL, the chance to get a little bit of rest before you go off to training camp, or do you never fully rest? Are you still working out?
I think this time around I've got about a week's rest. Okay. So just no football, just back to normality, or back to just, you know, just me and my family. And then after that, it's just kind of easing back into foot training. You got to be smart with these kind of things, because the training camp's very intense. Then the season is very, it's very long, even though it's only 17 weeks, but every day, long hours, early, you know, it gets long.
They call it a grind. I mean, there's no real time off, is there?
No, there isn't. And it's, you know, you have to, and then there's this expectation of you coming back better than what you was before. So there's always that sense of always having to improve, and the notion of people working harder than you, and you know, you see all around the off season people posting things like, oh, you know, the grind never stops, and people posting things of them training and that kind of, you know, you don't want to get left behind, you don't want to feel, and come back and like, oh, I've missed a step.
I'm sure you're never fully comfortable, because it's the NFL, it's the best of the best, and everything's a challenge every day, but you know what to expect in a training camp now. You've been through training camps. So is there a level of comfort from that degree? You know how a day's going to unfold.
There is some level of comfort in terms of you know what to expect. But the higher you climb up, the more, you know, the more, I want to say a cliche line like from Spider-Man, the more, you know, the great power comes great responsibility, thing. So, you know, what I'm trying to aspire is there's going to be more responsibility on my shoulders. So you have to, you know, get better, and you have to be able to handle that pressure. And that's kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah, right now, And your journey has been an incredible one. I know it's a story that we've told quite a bit. NFL UK, of course, everyone's very proud of what you've done. And but you played 5 games of amateur football for the London Warriors. Mm-hmm. Then you went off to the Dallas Cowboys. But when you look back at the F.A. Obada, who was with the Dallas Cowboys in your kind of rookie year, are you very different now?
I'm night and day in terms of performance, in terms of mentality, in terms of how I view the game, in terms of how I view myself. Very different. I'm more, you know, I feel like right now I'm more confident. I'm more, you know, I'm more secure in my position, in my capabilities. Mm-hmm. As a man, I've learned a lot. I've been able to, you know I have a direction now, as opposed to just being thrust into an environment where I'm, you know, I'm grateful for it, but I'm just trying to make the most of it. Mm. Now I'm trying to get what I want out of the situation, and then that's kind of what's different right now.
You're much more comfortable in these situations. I interviewed you the very first time you were going off to Dallas, and it was more painful for you, but it was pretty painful for me as well. But I guess that's part of it, isn't it? You're used to being part of an NFL player, and that comes with the territory.
It does come with the territory, and I feel like the people that I aspire to be like in the industry, it's just not playing football.
Yeah,
it's being able to be a role model. It's being able to communicate and control the narrative. Being able to talk to you know, people and sponsorships and media and kids, and just being able to portray that. Really.
So, what's it like training camp? Let's talk about training camp. It's coming up. Whenever I ask players about training camp, because fans get excited. Training camp opening, and it's all back, and you kind of ask players, and they're like, training camp, because it is tough days.
Honestly, I used to have that outlook on training camp. Some people have that, training camp again, you have to go for it. But that's just one of the hurdles you have to climb in order to achieve what you're trying to do. So I'm excited. Every training camp, I see it as an opportunity for me to get to where I need to do. it's like it's my interview. It's my, you know, it's what I need to do to show these teams that, you know, I'm more deserving than the other people fighting for the spot. I feel like you kind of get that more frustrated attitude from the people that are more experienced, the veterans, because they understand that, all right, well, I'm getting paid this much. I'm already I'm part of this team.
They don't really need it.
But for someone like me, that's, you know, on the fringe, or that. This is training camp is everything. This is what, that's why, you know, I've only taken a week out of training, because that's my Super Bowl, essentially. And then after that, what comes after that is, you know, essentially
you only get to that point if you have a good training.
Exactly. So I'm not looking at the season. Some people are focusing on the season, focusing on the rivalry games and stuff. But for me, it's only training camp that I'm only solely focused on. Yeah.
What sort of hours are you putting in it, I mean, in a day? Take us through the day, because I know there's a lot of meetings. It's not just the on the field stuff.
During the off season or
during training camp.
Typically, you wake up in the morning, probably around 7, sometimes earlier, 6, depending on like your routine. For me, I wake up much earlier than that because it takes me a while to warm up and just kind of wake up a little bit. Got to have breakfast, meetings, out in the field, come back, transitional period between lunch. Rehab, ice tub, cold tub, meetings, maybe have go back out there again, maybe walk some walkthroughs, meetings, installs, getting ready for today, the next day, dinner, meetings, and then it's just, you know, and then it's lifting, there's weights in there somewhere. But it's a grind. So usually I'll start the day at 6, 7, and then I'll finish the day around 10, 11. And I kind of aim to be in bed probably around 11 and trying to shut down, trying to get the most of my sleep, trying to get into that deep sleep and then repeat.
I'm sure young players who make it in the NFL, they have to be like a sponge. You have to learn a lot from coaches, but you can learn from other players on your team. And I look at your defense in Carolina, you've got Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. I mean, are those the would those be the kind of players that you try and take stuff from, or who do you learn from them? What do they teach you?
Those are like one of the main, those are one of the pillars in our teams in terms of defense. There's also Mario Addison. There's also Kyle Love. There's KK Short. The philosophy in our team, like, everybody can be a leader. You can learn from everybody. Yeah. And what's really different this year is that Eric Washington was promoted. And I just love the way he's kind of approached that, and something that done differently is the seating arrangements. Okay. You know, so I'll be sat next to someone that plays my position.
Yeah.
And you know, and but now I'm sat next to other people, like the safeties and the corners, and it kind of gives you it allows you to like understand their position and how how your play affects them.
So you have
them.
All these little groups, no, these little cliques.
Yeah.
Around,
so it's more, you know. So I feel like that helps a lot. And you get to learn from everyone. You get to learn from the corners. You get to learn from the safeties. Whether you're first year or you're, you know, you're like Julius Peppers, you're just taking it from everyone. But then at the end of the day, it's how you apply that, how you take that into yourself, and just, you know, perform.
We just done a sponsor event together while you're here in London, and you made it quite clear when you were talking to the guests at the lunch. You're not allowed to touch Cam Newton. You can have a strong training camp, but you're not allowed to touch number one.
Right? Don't touch Cam Newton. No, you can't touch him. He's an amazing guy.
Obviously, you're going against him, but up close. I mean, I've only seen him once, but on the field in Super Bowl 15, I was like, that's a defensive end.
Playing quarterback, right?
Yeah. What's he like as an athlete?
As an athlete, he's an amazing athlete. A lot of people have mixed feelings towards him, but you have to respect his play. You have to respect him as a footballer, regardless of whether or not you like him or not, you have to respect that he's an amazing athlete.
I think people have got to view him as an offensive weapon as well, he's not your prototypical quarterback.
No,
but as somebody you have to defend down after down.
Definitely,
that's what he is.
He is. He's amazing. He has a lot of. He's very extrovert, as you can tell, but he does work hard. You know, he puts in the work and he puts in the hours, and he's very deserving of all the success that he has, honestly.
Do you dress like Cam on game day?
Do I dress? No.
Certainly extrovert when it comes to that.
No, not for me. Me, I'm more of an introvert. I put my helmet on and get the job done type thing, and then,
What's the mood like in the team? You're about to get back together because it was an 11-win team last year, but maybe other teams get talked about more in the off season. But is it a team that believes they're right in the mix in terms of going for a Super Bowl?
Well, right now everyone's selling hope. Everyone's selling that notion that this is a team that's going to win it. At the end of the day, you're not going to know until you know. And we can only control what we can control right now. But we're just trying to instill that. We're just trying to instill that the values and the culture of the team into some of the new guys, and also the older guys are trying to perfect their, get better at their craft. And for someone like me, I'm just trying to, get better at my craft, really. And then afterwards, I think training camp, that's when everyone's going to start worrying about all the media. But we let the media talk. We just play football, really.
As you go through training camp and then pre-season games and into the season, obviously your main focus is on your production, your performance. As you said, training camp is your Super Bowl. It's a big time for you. Is there always a part in the back of your head that you know that there's going to be kids in the UK kind of watching and looking out for what you've done? Because you have come from the amateur game.
Yeah.
And I'm around kids in the amateur game. They all want to do... you listen to them. They all, I want to go to America. I want to do... You are going to serve as a role model, even though you've got to look after yourself.
Yeah, but I feel like there is that notion of just being aware that there are people that are in my position that want to be where I am right now. But like everyone, like for me, the people that I look up to, if they don't continue to do what they do and continue to strive and continue to get better in their field, it wouldn't. I'm just going to just focus on myself and being who I am and achieving my dreams, and that subconsciously or indirectly motivates other people. But I do go back. When I came back, I went to the London Warriors and the London Blitz game, and I was able to interact with the team. I was on the sideline. I was getting everybody hyped up, and I was just involved, and I was just able to talk to some of the other guys that, were there, and like, oh yeah, we came to this team because you was on this team, and just see some old faces and stuff like that. So it's just, it's amazing, yeah. It's good. All I've got to do is just focus on what I can do.
All right, we wish you all the best for training camp for the 2018 season. That's F.A. Abada. Let's continue with the training camp theme, because the Jacksonville Jaguars will be heading off to training camp, of course, as well, in a couple of weeks. I caught up with J.P. Shadrick, who's the voice of Jaguars Radio. Okay, joined on the Inside the Huddle podcast now by a man who's had me on many of his radio programs and podcasts over the years, J.P. Shadrick from the Jaguars Radio Network, editor of Jaguars.com as well, is that right?
Sure, yeah. No, that's the official title.
That's the title.
Reporter,
I was going to say, you wear so many hats for the Jaguars.
Senior reporter editor is the title, but there's a lot going on. It's a busy... job, a lot to happen. Not right now, it's vacation time. I'm here in the UK, and I just happened to pop in the office today and to see some of the Jags guys and take a tour around. I'd never seen the office. What a great place here.
And, of course, great time to be in London. You are aware that it's coming home, right?
I've heard about that over the last couple of days here. It's coming. Apparently, football's coming home. Whatever that means, everybody's excited about it. No, I was in Amsterdam and Paris earlier on this trip, and I was in Paris when France played the other day. So I was at some cafe, standing on the street, drinking a beer from a grocery store, just standing on the street watching some cafe's TV, along with like 400 other people, just standing there, not even paying for the cafe. And they went nuts when France scored, of course. And then there was a French train workers strike that got me delayed and everybody else delayed coming over here on Saturday. But somehow I made it over here in time, 5 minutes into the match, to get to the pub where I was watching England.
Fantastic.
So watched most of the match. Obviously is fired up, and they've got a good chance to win it.
I know. Let's keep everything crossed. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's talk about the other football. American football is coming home soon. Of course, training camps will be opening very soon. At the end of July. First of all, I love training camp, to go around and watch it. What's it like to work in a training camp environment, and to see it day in and day out? And I guess you kind of get those butterflies. The season's just around the corner. It's a long off season in the NFL.
Well, first of all, if you've walked around London or the UK the last few days, you know it's really, really hot right now.
Yeah.
We'll add about 10 degrees to that Fahrenheit and 85% humidity, and that's what training camp is like every single day in Jacksonville. But no, the anticipation is the fun part, because once you know they hit the field and there's a three-day window where they can't wear pads, but once the pads go on 3 days, 4 days in, you start hearing football sounds again, pads popping and,
yeah,
and helmets and fights and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, about a week or so in, you get tired of hitting your own guys, and then you go out and play another team finally in the preseason. But that means it's there. The guys walking out on the concrete to the field with their cleats cracking on the concrete. Just for me, as a baseball guy back in my past, the sound of spring training. The ball hitting the bat.
Right, yep.
You know, mm-hmm. That sound you didn't hear for an off season.
Yeah.
So the click-clack of the cleats, the pads popping, that means it's really close. And that's the fun part for me. Yeah. I love that part because, you know, it's only a couple of weeks out.
What kind of storylines should we be looking out for the Jags in training camp? I mean, last year was a very interesting training camp I think I was in Jacksonville the day after Blake Bortles had thrown five picks against the defense, and that showed actually though that it was just a really, really great defense. Then Chad Henne was in the lineup, then Blake Bortles was back in, and then of course off the Jags go and they come within 5 minutes of the Super Bowl. So every preseason, every training camp delivers those kind of storylines. What are the sort of ones that you're going to be looking out for in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I think let's start with Blake. It's amazing what a difference a year makes, uh-huh. Right? Because a year ago, this
now it's
time,
clearly his team.
It's his team now. He signed the contract. He's playing great ball in the offseason, or did in OTAs, and he's confident and he knows the offense. It's an offense for another year for him, so he's deeper into the playbook now, and everything just looks better with him. Now, a year ago, he didn't know if he was going to be the quarterback here because, like you said, Chad Henne started the third preseason game, which is, oh, my goodness, what is going
on
here?
That's the one. That's the important one.
The big one. They decided after that game that Blake was a starter. Anyway, the rest is history. I think Blake's fine. My question is, you know, a little bit of the offensive line. The new face there with Norwell at left guard. I know guard play is relatively boring to
becoming more important now, though, in the NFL, isn't it? It's becoming a lot more important. A lot of the rush comes straight up the middle.
Especially for this football team, because this Jags team wants to run and then throw off the run, too. So they did a good job last year of keeping Blake upright. You know, he didn't get sacked a lot. The run game was the best in the NFL by statistics, but there was a feel late in the year that they didn't have that thump, that punch that they wanted to. They couldn't really run when they wanted to.
Right.
Late in the season and in the playoffs, you didn't see that a lot. So getting Norwell in there, what's going to happen at right guard? Is A.J. Cann going to win that job, or could they slide the rookie over in camp and give him some reps there, maybe a little competition? I think those are the big questions of the O-line. Everybody else there is in pretty good shape, I think. Who are these receivers now? I mean,
right? Yeah, someone's going to step up. I saw Austin Seferian Jenkins catch the eye in OTA,
and a new tight end. He's been playing well. Marquise Lee of the three big receivers the last few years. 2 years ago, you would have never thought Marquise Lee would be the one surviving injury.
It was Robinson and Hearns. It was all about them.
They're out of here.
They're gone. Yeah.
But that's how fast things change in the league. You know, so Lee's here. You got Dante Moncrief in from Indianapolis, who's looked pretty good in the offseason. He's just got to stay healthy and on the field and have some quarterback play that's, you know, routine, I guess. Because they've had so many changes in Indy with quarterback. You know?
Right, so you want to get that timing down.
Yes, and that's what Dante said was part of the issue there. Was, you know, they didn't know who the quarterback was going to be the last couple of years. So he's around. You got some young receivers that played well last year. So for me, the questions are on offense. There's not much question of what's going to happen on the defensive side. Those guys are going to be coming and ready to play and ready to knock some heads off.
And those guys, when I was out in Jacksonville, just oozed confidence. And they don't mind talking the talk because they back it up on the field on Sundays. And actually, the one who does that on the offensive side as well is Leonard Fournette. He spoke to me very confidently about how good they were going to be. And he said, we're a young players who come into the NFL now. We're a bit of a different breed. We're not afraid to talk. And I wonder what you thought of that, because you're around this team a lot.
Yeah.
And I know they're sort of well guided by, you've got Coughlin and you've got Doug Marone trying to keep them on the straight and narrow. You've got Calais Campbell, but they have got some of this new breed of player who is willing to be outspoken, but then they also back it up.
That's the second part's the point, though. Anybody can go talk, but right. If you're getting your block knocked off on Sunday, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to be doing that. So these guys can go play. Leonard has always been, even in college, was a confident type. He wasn't that outspoken in college. It's a different environment, you know, that whole level. But he gets here, and they knew they were going to run the ball. And as things started moving in the season, you heard him a little more be a little more confident as the season went on. Defensively, the young guys, I mean, if you bring in a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who, when he stepped in the building as a rookie, felt like he was going to be the best, if he wasn't already the best corner in football, well, he's the one that can tell you about it and then go do it to you and then tell you about it afterwards, too, you know, after you've been kicked out of the game for a fight.
For reacting,
you know, like that's how he works, and that's how... I think that's how he psychs himself up a lot, you know? Some guys have to have that, where they talk themselves maybe into
a frenzy almost.
And then deliver it to the other guy, too. And that's okay, because this defense especially, they've proven, they have a track record now, I think, of being able to go out and do that and perform at a high level. Get to the quarterback, take the ball away, score on defense. If you can do all that, say whatever you want.
These players clearly believe they have a Super Bowl season in them.
They had it last year.
Yeah, and they were very, very close. Yeah. They had the game, didn't they? Like you said, maybe they run the ball at the end and control that game at the end.
Well, Miles Jack wasn't down. You say, you know,
it's
coming home here.
Yeah, you need a break as well, right?
Yeah, it's coming home is the theme here. Yeah. Miles Jack wasn't down is the theme back in Jacksonville.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is
that's
the tagline everybody's using right now. That wasn't the only play in the game.
No, but that was a huge play that would have... And that's where you need a break as well, don't you?
You don't
need to be just talented. You need to have the chips fall your way as well, and that was a bad call.
And that's the frustrating part. There were maybe some calls that didn't go the way of the Jaguars, let's say. But there were also chances beyond those calls that the Jaguars didn't make on their own to win the game. You know, 3rd and 13 or 17, whatever it was late in the game.
Right.
Couldn't stop that, you know. Couldn't run the ball after the Miles Jack play.
Yep.
If you run the ball for 2-3 first downs, kill some clock, game's over.
Yeah.
The bad punt up the middle, long punt return late to set up the final Patriots touchdown. Those are three mistakes that are self-inflicted by the Jaguars, they feel, outside of everything else that happened. So that's how close they were. Mm. One break here or there is the difference of them going to the Super Bowl and playing the Eagles. And there's a feeling that they would have competed very well in that game against the Eagles.
Well, we'll see what happens in 2018. We will get to see the Jags again in London, Wembley Stadium. What a game. What a game for us as well. Eagles. We'll find out how they would have competed.
I guess so. We're going to find out soon. We were talking in Jacksonville the other month, I guess, and I asked you if it's the biggest game in London history, and you said it was an easy yes for you. They're defending Super Bowl champs, a team that was in the AFC Championship game that is basically London's home team now at Wembley. It doesn't get much bigger than that, and I just hope that both teams are playing well as they go into that game, because I have a feeling they will, because the Eagles are going to be good again. I think the Jags are ready to take that step and do it. So hopefully both teams will roll into London ready to play, and it should be a fantastic match. It was always a fun trip, but then you put that kind of magnitude on a game, it makes it the best trip ever. And this is going to be an epic Jaguars-Eagles game coming up.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that. JP, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for asking me.
Inside the Huddle.
I'll send the bill to the Jaguars UK guys.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't realize there was a fee, but I should have realized, a man of your stature. Yeah, pay for the whole trip right?
You now
realize you can expense everything. All those beers from the grocery stores in Paris.
Yes.
Glasses of rosé that were being thrown everywhere, and then here, beer. What's the whole weekend now.
What's the euro to sterling exchange rate?
Whatever it is, bump it up. When it's on expenses, you bump it up.
Absolutely.
All right, great to hear from JP there. My thanks to F.A. Abada as well. Just a short version of Inside the Huddle this week. Just one more thing to remind you all of. We have an NFL UK live
on Tuesday, July the 17th. There are still some tickets available for that, so check out nfluk.com to see about the tickets for that. Also, earlier this week, I walked 11 and a half miles with an NFL fan, Martin Lydon, but Martin is actually walking 135 miles to raise money for cancer charities here in the UK and in the US. So please check out Martin's Twitter handle, at Martin Lydon. You can go to his GoFundMe page, which is GoFundMe/walk to Bristol. So dig deep, donate, it's all for a good cause. Until next time, it's bye for now. Bye-bye.